Good day, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Vienna International Airport conference call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Ms. Judith Helenyi. Please go ahead.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to our conference call today. The conference call will be hosted by Mr. Ofner and by Mr. Jäger. The presentation for the conference call you can find at our homepage under Publication and Reports under Presentations. There will be a replay available after the conference call, probably in the late afternoon or tomorrow in the morning. The presentation, as usual, will take roughly 20 minutes and will be followed by a Q&A session. And now I would like to hand over to Mr. Jäger. Jäger, please go ahead.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, it is my pleasure to present to you our traffic results 2012 and outlook for 2013. 2012 was a record year in terms of passenger numbers. For the first time, we've handled more than 22 million passengers in a year. This is an increase of 5% over 2011. The main driver was growth in transfer traffic with plus 8.1%. We had an increase in local passenger traffic by plus 3.8%. Whereby this, as expected, the picture changed a bit in the last quarter of this year. The flight movements decreased slightly by 0.6%. MQW decreased by minus 1.7%, mainly due to the decrease in flight movements and more importantly, through the decrease of cargo-only flights, mainly from Asia. The only really negative aspect of our passenger figures 2012 is cargo. We had to face a decrease of 9.2%, which is quite significant and more or less in line with the European trend. The main reason for that is the reduction in cargo traffic between Eastern Asia and the Slovakian car cluster. A very positive aspect of our traffic results is seat occupancy. We have an increase of 3.4 percentage points up to 73%, which is a significantly higher load factor than we have seen in the last 5 or 10 years, I think. Our passenger growth tops the European average significantly. The ACI average until the end of November is plus 1.9%. Having a closer look towards the development of the regions, the good traffic results were mainly driven by Eastern Europe with a plus 12.1%, Middle East plus 8.3%, Africa and South America, whereby we have a very low basis there, plus 11.9%, North America plus 2.4%, Western Europe plus 3.5%, and the only decrease we saw here was Far East, mainly due to the reduction or the cancellation of the flight to Mumbai by Austrian Airlines and the reduction of frequencies to Beijing. We are still number one in terms of destinations to Eastern Europe. We have 38 destinations, Munich 35, Fraport 34. And our strongest destinations in Western Europe were Frankfurt, London, and Zurich. Eastern Europe, Moscow, Bucharest, and Sofia. And long haul, still our most important destination is Bangkok, followed by New York and Tokyo. In Europe, the main driver was transfer traffic. Middle East, the main driver, the increase of frequencies by Emirates. Africa and South America, two new destinations from Condor to the Caribbean, and the more stable political situation in North Africa, mainly Egypt. Yeah. Let's move on to slide four and have a closer look to our airline customers. I would say overall the picture is very, very positive. Austrian Airlines had a growth of 4% and carried nearly 11 million passengers in 2012. This means a slight decrease in their market share down to 49.5%. Lufthansa, very strong, growth by 12.2% due to new flights to Berlin and an increase in frequencies to Frankfurt. 1.2 million passengers and a market share of 5.5%. Germanwings saw an increase in transfer traffic and a slight increase by 2.2%. In total, the Lufthansa Group carried 13.4 million passengers here in Vienna. This is an increase of 3.5% and a market share of 60.8%. Niki saw a very strong growth in 2012, plus 9.2%, 2.6 million passengers, and Air Berlin saw a slight increase of 1.6% up to 1.3 million passengers. In total, the Niki and Air Berlin group has a market share of 18.3%. Yeah, the rest, British, plus 11.9%, Turkish, due to additional flights to Istanbul and Ankara, plus 34%, Air France, new destinations, plus 9.4%, and Emirates, additional frequencies, plus 19%. Just a very quick look on the next slide, 5, where we compared ourselves over the last 10 years to our peer group. In 2012, we had significant higher growth rates than our peers. The other Lufthansa hubs, Fraport reported an increase of 1.9%, Munich 1.6%, and Zurich 1.9%. In the same time, we know that Prague and Budapest saw quite significant decreases in 2012. So I think we underlined our strong competitive position vis-a-vis these other hubs in our peer group. And if you look back over the last 10 years, I think the picture is quite similar. Since the year 2000, we were growing on average by 5.3%, Zurich by 0.6%, Munich 4.6%, and Frankfurt by 1.2%. And although Prague and Budapest had higher growth rates on average since the year 2000, one can see that since 2006, their growth was marginally, and now with significant decreases in 2012 are falling behind. The main reason for that, in my point of view, is our catchment area. I think we have a growing catchment area. More than 50% of our catchment area is in Eastern Europe, so there will be more demand for flights from that region. I think the second reason is the position, the very well positioned Austrian Airlines as a carrier between East and West. Still, Eastern Europe will be the driver of growth in aviation in Europe in the next few years. And thirdly, I think with Niki, we have a quite aggressive home carrier which operates a low-cost operation, and this is in particularly strong in the field of tourism. This leads me to our forecast for 2013. From today's point of view, we see a slight increase in passenger numbers for 2013. We expect that there will be growth between 1 and 2%. At the same time, we think that flight movements will decrease significantly, something between minus 1.5 to minus 2.5%. NQW, we think, will be along the lines of the 2012 results. And we expect that we manage to keep our relatively high load factor. So essentially the message is we expect less movements but bigger planes and more passengers per aircraft movement, and with that we manage to increase our passengers numbers while our flight movements decrease. I think this is good news in terms of our capacity. We have ample of capacity for passenger growth, but obviously runway growth, there will be a shortage of runway growth over the next 10 years. And obviously, after a decrease of 0.6% this year, with again a significant decrease next year, this will reduce the pressure to build the third runway. In general, I think that 2013 will be a year of consolidation for a lot of airlines. We feel that Austrian is on a very good way. They already operated much more productive in 2012. We think they will still increase their productivity and the utilization of their capacity in 2013. We expect that the fleet restructuring will be completed in 2013, and especially long haul, we should be in a position by summer to offer a significantly better quality. Nikki, I think we saw there a bit of a strategy change over the last few weeks or months. The positive news is that there will be a significant increase in capacity, the replacement of the Embraer by A319. We will host the Greece hub of the Air Berlin and Niki group this year here in Vienna, so this should bring some growth. At the same time, they cancelled their southeastern European destinations, Bucharest, Sofia, and Belgrade, so obviously in there's less competition in these markets, so there will be less passengers next year in these three markets. But overall, we see a quite significant increase in capacity from Niki. We stick to our long-term forecast. We always said that we expected between 2010 and 2020 we would increase by roughly 4.2%. Between 2009 and 2012, we already increased by plus 7%. So to achieve that goal, we would need on average growth of 3.6% until 2020. We think this is still realistic. And this would mean that we would grow above the European average. In principle, I believe that worldwide there will be growth in the next 10 years. The main driver obviously will be Asia, but we think that we are well positioned to achieve, as we did in the past, above average growth compared to the European average. With growing passenger numbers, obviously we need to modernize our infrastructure further. We've just opened the refurbished check-in one, where we invested roughly 9 million euros. It's in operation since 9th of June and hosts now Niki and Air Berlin Group and a number of other airlines. So far, the feedback is very positive from all our passengers and customers. This will gives us now the possibility to take Terminal 2 out of operation, which means as well that we're in a position to remove the baggage sorting system below Terminal 2, which means that we can increase the quality of our passengers again by shortening some passenger waits. In general, we will decide until mid-year how we proceed with Terminal 2. As you know, this is the oldest part of the terminal. It was taken into operation in 1960, so it either needs a deep and proper refurbishment over the next 3 years, or it has to be rebuilt completely. It's in the center of the terminal, so it's in between Terminal 3 and Terminal 1. We have not taken the decision yet, but we are on a good way, and we expect to inform you mid-year about our plans for that. Yeah, that's maybe just to finish off a few words regarding the further modernization. Until the end of 2012, we will modernize Pier West. This is our Schengen pier, which is mainly used by Niki, Air Berlin, Air France, and so on. We will modernize the shopping area behind Terminal 2. without investing a lot. Mainly the investment will come from the shops, and there will be visible improvement in the old infrastructure over the next 12 months. Yeah, that's it from my end, and I'll hand over to my colleague, Günther Ofner.
Yeah, hi, good afternoon. If somebody of you would have a lack in snow, we have quite a lot of it now, so please let us know if you have the need of it. But let's come to our outlook for 2013. On the basis of the fact that we met the corporate targets in 12, so we could substantially improve our productivity, roughly by 10%. We have an optimistic outlook for 2013, and it is also somehow reflected in the development of our share price throughout 2012. And we feel that to a certain extent investors' confidence returned. So we will try hard in 2013 not to disappoint the expectations and to fulfill our guidance as it is presented to you in the next slide. What is the basis for the guidance? It is a sustainable reduction in administrative, in operating expenses, and in personal costs. So year by year compared, the reduction in workforce amounts to almost 5%. And the second very essential fact is that we could substantially reduce our net debt position. We will end somewhere at 720 end of this year, and it will go down also next year, in 2013. One of the reasons for our good position in regard of net debt exposure is that costs for checking 3 will stay below 750 million. Although we have not finalized all the accounting procedures and we have not paid all the bills so far, but we are pretty sure that we will end up substantially below 750. One very important point for our work is to professionalize our project management. And we appointed also a new head of our department in regard of construction and maintenance. And we fulfilled all the recommendations that have been made by the Austrian Auditor's General's Office. And from that side, I think we could also prove for check-in one that we realized it in time with the right quality and within the guidelines from the cost side. One important issue for 2013 will be the rollout for our real estate strategy, which we presented to our supervisory board in December, and to which I will come back later. So let's turn to our financial targets for 2013. In regard of revenue, our expectation is to end up higher than 625. In terms of EBITDA, we see a clear improvement, and we expect 230 million or slightly above. Net profit should be somewhere at 2012 level, in any case higher than 65 million. The respective figures between EBITDA and net profit reflect that we will have a full year depreciation in 2013 for check-in 3. We will also have all the expenses for interest on the expenses side, and they will not be capitalized further on. And we will have 12-month operating costs instead of 7 months we had in 12. But although we have these additional costs, the net profit should end up somewhere at 65 or above. As already mentioned, our net debt position should go down to equal or less of 2.9 EBITDAs. You may be aware that our midterm target is to reach 2.5 EBITDAs, so we are well on the way to that goal, and we are fairly ahead of what we expected 1 year ago. And overall, we try to end up below 680 net debt for next year. CapEx will be more or less stable compared with 12 and will amount at approximately 115 million, including all the projects ongoing. It includes the building of a new hangar, the completion of our cargo center, and also some measures in regard of terminals, as already outlined by my colleague. So, giving you one specific topic where we will move forward in 2013 is our real estate strategy. We want to improve our earnings midterm through optimization of our real estate portfolio. Clearly, we decided not to sell any of the profit property within airport limits, and especially not our car parks, because they are all very profitable, and it is of strategic interest to have control over this real estate. And on the other hand, this strategy includes that we are ready to sell some of our properties that are outside airport limits and which are not of strategic importance, especially this means our business park project nearby the airport in the municipality of Fishermen. And it could also include some of our real estate property and rented facilities in Cargo North, but we will only move forward in that respect under favorable market conditions, so it might take some time to realize this. On the other hand, we clearly focused on investments in the next years that promise good profitability. Especially this includes a budget hotel, it includes optimization of our conference facilities and also of our cargo facilities, and it could in midterm include new office space. In short term, we have enough place to be rented. So this is a midterm necessity, and as I already mentioned, we are also constructing a new maintenance hangar, which is necessary on our airport, and it will be realized in 13 and 14. Overall, despite some uncertainties in regard of the general economic outlook, we are optimistic that we can reach our guidance in 2013, and that from the cost side and from our revenue side, 2013 we had in 12. So the downturn that was expected before, I think, should not take place in 13. There is one specific issue I want to tackle, and I expect that you might have also some questions on that point, so I will cover it initially. That's the third runway. As we informed the public, it's now in the second instance, so the complaints are handled by the respective authorities. Right now, we cannot predict if there is any decision likely to happen in 2013. If this is not the case, the authority that has to deal with the matter will change, because there is a specific change in the legal framework in Austria. So a new court would have to deal with the matter starting from the 1st of January 2014. What if no decision is made in 13 would in any case mean a further delay of not less than 1 year, because the new court authority would have to start more or less from the scratch to work on the complaints. And it is, as I said, not possible to predict right now if a second instance decision can be expected already in 13 or not. From the overall growth perspective, I think we have some relief in regard of movements, and this gives us also, from the perspective of the timetable for the realization of such a project, maybe 1, 2 or even more years, what is pushing back also the necessities in regard of our investment plans. So that's from my side, and please feel free for any question you may have.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time, please press the star or asterisk key, followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question. We will pause for just a moment to allow everyone to signal. We will now take our first question from Joseph Thomas from HSBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Thanks for taking the question. It's Joe Thomas here from HSBC. A couple of questions, please. Firstly, I just want to understand better what is included within the guidance. In particular, are you assuming within the EBITDA guidance and the net profit guidance that there is any compensation forthcoming from your contractors in 2013?
No.
Okay.
Nothing included.
Okay, fine. And then just moving on from that, could you give an update on where you think you are in terms of negotiations with those contractors and possibly quantify further sums to emerge? And then finally, you talked on the last conference call about some CapEx for a runway maintenance project. You weren't able to quantify it then. I was just hoping you might be able to do that now and also tell us whether that's included within the guidance.
Yeah, so no compensation payments are included for 13 right now. Our expectation is that the latest in July we will know whether an out-of-court settlement can be reached or not. In case we reach an out-of-court settlement, you may remember that our write-offs in regard of this damage amounted in 11 to roughly 30 million euros. The contractor paid 7 million euros last year. So what we are discussing is more or less the rest of this sum. If you expect that we come to an out-of-court settlement, you should assume that neither side will get 100%. So normally an out-of-court settlement is a compromise. So from this perspective, you can make your extrapolations. We don't want to speculate right now whether we will receive 10 or 50 or 90%, but we are optimistic that we have a firm ground for our claims. If we don't feel comfortable with the compromise we can reach, it is not ruled out right now that later this year we would have to go to court and to put the matter in a court procedure. In regard of the runway maintenance, the CAPEX is included in our estimations, and from today's perspective, it should in total not exceed 27 million euros. But, I mean, finally we will know it after it is completed, but the best guess from today's perspective is roughly 27 million euros, and it is fully included in the plans.
Thank you. Can I clarify something? The 7 million compensation that you received, can you just clarify, that came in 2012, did it?
Yes, but what you should be aware of is that only 2.5 million of that payment is included in our figures, because the rest still is, let me say, on hold. Yeah, so it's we received it in cash, but we did not receive it as an income in our balance sheet, because it's still questioned, yeah, from both sides whether this is ours or not. So only 2.5 out of these 7 are in our balance sheet of 12 for 2012. Okay. Nothing is included in 13 in the guidance so far.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Alex Grignall from UBS. Please go ahead.
Sorry, afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you very much for taking the questions. Just two, please. Just looking at commercial spend after your third terminal, Skylink, came in, I think Q3, the run rate looked to be about 15% growth in spend per passenger. I don't know if you could update us on how that's looking and how that contributes to the improved guidance against expectations, it seems, that EBIT would be down year on year next year. And then I guess you touched on this briefly earlier, but just your thoughts on Austrian Airlines and the Lufthansa Group in general. Clearly some more capacity control being considered there, but how you see that going into 2013. Please, thanks very much.
Thank you. Regarding your first question, I think I said in our last call that we expect roughly that the spend per pax would move up from the 185 to 190 to 210. So yes, we can confirm that our guidance is based on roughly an increase in passenger spend by something between 10 to 15%. So this is included in the guidance. Regarding your second question, I think Austrian Airlines is on a very good way. I think they managed very well to shorten, to cut their costs last year. I think they streamlined the operation in general. Obviously, what we will see as well is that they try to cut capacity wherever it is possible, and they moved very well ahead in increasing their load factor. And until a few months ago, I used to say that the load factor is never really a big surprise for us, because over the last 5 years, it's always fluctuated on average in a full year between 68.5 to 69.5. This year we had 73, so this is a significant improvement, and we expect that Austrian will follow So I think the major challenge for Austrian Airlines in 2013 is to show positive results to their parent company, Lufthansa. And secondly, I think what is very important for us is that their long-haul operation works well, especially their new destination, Chicago, to be in a position to invest in 2 to 4 additional 777 as it's the plan of the current Austrian Airlines management.
Okay, great. And sorry, just one brief follow-up. In terms of your guidance on passenger growth for next year, apologies if I've missed this, I probably have, but have you given any split in terms of local versus transfer traffic, the growth there?
No, we haven't given that, but I expect that there will be less significant. I mean, this year we had 8% or a bit more 8% growth in transfer traffic and 3% or a bit more in local traffic. I think there will be very insignificant growth from transfer traffic. So I think one, because Niki changed the strategy and the focus now more even more on touristic destinations. And on the other hand, I think Austrian Airlines is trying to attract more wherever possible the local traffic, which has usually a higher yield. So I think I wouldn't be surprised if this year we would see a slightly more growth in local traffic than in transfer traffic.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thanks.
We will now take our next question from Nick Edelman from Goldman Sachs. Please go ahead.
Thanks. Afternoon, everyone. I've got a couple of questions, please. Firstly, just in terms of the profile of capacity expectations, could you just give an indication what you expect perhaps in the first quarter and then in the summer schedule? Secondly, when would you actually complete any CapEx work on check-in too? And is that in your CapEx guidance of 590? And in fact, does that 590 still stand? And then lastly, in terms of the runway CapEx you mentioned earlier, the 27 million, is that all in the cash flow? Is that all CapEx or is any of that going to be expensed in the P&L? Thank you.
Starting with your last question, it's all included. So it's no additional expenses from the runway CapEx. Your second question regarding of Terminal 2, we do not expect any major investment in regard of Terminal 2 within the period up to 15. So what is necessary for the development of the project is included. Even some planning costs will be covered. But it is not likely that any investment in regard of realizing the project can start before 16, because all the decisions necessary up to that need the time. So no CapEx included until end of 15.
Regarding the first question, overall, we expect the seat capacity growth in the full year 2012 by as well 1 to 2%. As you know, we don't have a clear picture about the summer schedule yet. There's still a deadline until the end of this month where the airline can give back slots. We obviously know about the capacity of Austrian and Niki, but don't have all the details to which destinations they actually want to fly there. So I think in the first quarter we will see quite significant cuts in movements, but I'm confident that this will slow down then in over summer, so that we will by the full year we will end somewhere in the around -2% in respect of movements, but with on average a higher seat capacity per movement, and with that we think we will see an insignificant growth between 1 and 2%.
That's great, thank you.
Thank you.
We will now take our next question from Bernd Maurer from RBC. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. Bernd Maurer, Raiffeisen Central Bank. One further question on CapEx. Can you elaborate a bit on your thoughts on CapEx in the coming years in 2014, 2015, without incorporating any big investment projects, just to get a feeling for your maintenance CapEx and how high your CapEx would be in a normal year without any special investment projects?
Yeah, in general, I can confirm our guidance for the five-year calculation of CapEx. So up to end 15, starting with 11, it will amount to roughly 590 million euros. Because any of the bigger investments and projects that could come around the corner will not be started before end of 15. So from this perspective, we continue to confirm our general guidance. It might differ then by 10 or 20 or 30 million, but not really substantial.
Okay, thank you. So I can assume then normal CapEx, maintenance CapEx in a year without any special projects at around 70 million a year?
Maximum, yes.
Maximum.
Yes.
Super. Thanks a lot.
Thanks.
As a reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will take our next question from Andy Jones from RBC Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, all. One question from me. I think the original plan on Skylink opening, or sorry, check-in 3, was that operating costs would be broadly flat. Now, your guidance is implying a reduction. How much of that is your productivity measures that you're making, and how much of it is simply the saving from not having to operate in check-in 2?
It's difficult really to distinguish it in detail, but in any case it will bring us substantial cost reductions in regard of energy. We save electricity and other energy. What is very essential to understand for our operating costs estimation in 13 is that in 12 we had one-off costs for starting of check-in 3, which we will not have now in 13. So there are a lot of effects up and down, and in total, as you indicated, fortunately, we are in a better position in regard of costs than we expected 1 year before.
Okay. Would you be prepared to kind of put a ballpark figure on the annual running cost of check-in 2?
It's very minor. I mean, it's maybe 2, 3, 4 million that are part of... So including all maintenance costs, fire protection and all that, it's a smaller one-digit million euro amount.
Okay, thank you. That's very
helpful. Actually, what we have taken out of operation is the check-in facility in Terminal 2 and the baggage sorting system underneath Terminal 2. So I think as Günther Ofner said, it's a very low one-digit million amount.
Thank you. That's helpful.
Thank you.
As a final reminder, ladies and gentlemen, to ask a question at this time, please press star 1 on your telephone keypad. We will pause for one moment to allow everyone to signal. We will take our next question from Daniel Lyon from Ernst Group. Please go ahead.
Hello. I would have just two more questions. One is relating to the shopping areas, which were previously occupied by Sardana Group. Have you already rented them out to new tenants?
We are on the way. Until February, we will have rented out more than 95% of the space. available in all the terminals. So we are currently signing around 5 contracts every week, and we will go out with a press release. I would expect early February to announce that we've rented out more than 95%. So we should be very close to very soon towards the 97-98% mark in respect of all the space. The new shops will open now over the next 3, 4, 5 months. So this is a continuous process where until mid-year most of the shops will be in operation and open. One thing just to add to the shops, what is good news is that the conditions, especially compared to the old conditions that Dana Group had, significantly improved. So we are about to sign a contract on souvenir shops. There the conditions are really significantly better, and then even with all the other fashion shops and so on, I think the average increase in concession-free fee we expect to get is something around 20% or even more.
Okay, thank you very much.
As there are no further questions in the queue at this time, that will conclude today's Q&A session. I would now like to turn the call back to your host today for any additional or closing remarks.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for participating in the conference call. If you have any further questions, please feel free to get back to us anytime. Send us an email, give us a call. As you're not having any more questions for today, I'll end this call. Thank you for your participation. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Bye.
That will conclude today's conference call, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.